on the tour, D'Angelo. We've had to do something about that, amen. Yeah, thank you, Lord, amen. Growing in the Lord, thank God, amen. Hebrews chapter 11, we're dealing with the subject of faith and living the Christian life of faith. We told you last week that the beginning of the chapter here gives an outline of the steps of growth within the Christian walk of faith. And we looked at last week the work of God, because that's where it all starts, is with Him. But once the work of God takes place in a Christian's life, the next step takes place is his worship with the Lord. Amen. God does a work and saves an individual, and then the Lord wants that individual to learn to just worship the Lord. So Hebrews chapter 11, while you're turning, if you got something to write with, I'm going to try to get this. If somebody will write it down for me and pin it up on that board back there. We do have our schedule for the rest of the year. So far, not everything, but April, of course, the 12th through the 16th will be our revival. We'll actually start that 11th, that Sunday, so be making preparations for that. Brother Chandler will be here. Actually, not is that the 16th of Friday? That would actually be the 15th, 11th through the 15th, to the end on that Thursday. We will not have a Friday service, so that will be our spring revival. Also, I believe it's May the 25th, children out of school, somewhere around that time. So June the 21st through the 25th, which would be the last full week of June, will be Vacation Bible School. Does that mess up anybody's plans that they already got planned for this year, vacation or anything? Anybody, just speak up. We'll try to make arrangements if we can to make it work. We want everybody to have a part in it. So that's Bible School, amen? So now if you tell me you got plans, I'm going to tell you lie, because I called you right from the pulpit. 21st through the 25th, Bible School, June, then the end of July. So the next month, July, the last week of July, the 26th through the 30th is Youth Camp. Amen. That'll be in Popeful. Amen. Thank God we have some good times there. And then the last of August will be the 29th through September the 1st. That'll be our mission conference. It's always that last week of August and end September the 1st. So everything but maybe a fall meeting maybe we'll have is on the schedule, amen? We'll try to pin it up. That sound, everybody get it? All right, amen. So I told you I was going to do it 2 weeks ago, and I finally did it, amen? I forgot. Again, I went for the deacon. I said, remind me, amen. He said, hey, brother, don't forget to announce that stuff tonight. I said, man, I appreciate that. All right, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Anybody got it? Amen. Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, that be by the faith, by it the elders obtained a good report. And then God goes into description of people that work by faith. And of course, as we saw last week, the first person that ever done anything was God. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Amen. Let's ask the Lord's help tonight. Amen. Amen. Jacob, how about pray for us tonight? Help us, Lord.
I pray that you speak to our hearts, Lord. Teach us something, Lord, from your word. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the faith, Lord, and for your word to be able to have faith. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, Lord.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for the good singing. And your precious thoughts done all you will do in Christ's name.
Amen. So verse 4 is our text verse for tonight and the steps of a Christian life of faith. Amen. God has done a work in your life when he saved you, and then you need to learn to worship the Lord. And Abel is the example that the Holy Ghost uses here in this chapter when he outlines the steps of growth of faith. Amen. The first thing recorded in Hebrews 11 that a man did is that he offered a sacrifice to God. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And God compared the two sacrifices between the two. Abel is known as a worshiper of God. He offered a sacrifice in worship unto God. And by it, he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. The comparison between him and Cain's. You find that in Genesis chapter number 4. His offering was an acknowledgement of his sinfulness. Amen. There had to be a sacrifice for his sin. That's the principle taught throughout the Old Testament. Amen. That the killing of an animal, the shedding of blood. Without that shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so when Abel offered up a sacrifice, killing the sacrifice, offering it up, he is acknowledging himself as a sinful being and needs a reconciliation between him and God. Amen. He also acknowledges that God judges sins. When you offer a sacrifice to God, you're offering that, hey, I'm guilty, that's why I'm doing it, and also I'm offering it to get the judgment of God off my life. Hey, God judges sin. Amen. In Genesis 3:22, he knew that death was the punishment for sin. Just as it happened with his mother and father, hey, God killed that animal, amen, and covered their bodies with that skin, that blood was shed. Hey, God judges sin. Hey, Cain represents all religions in the world. What's Cain offer up? The fruits of his own hand, amen. Hey, he represents all world religions. Work and just hope for the best, amen. Hey, do what you can and just see if it all works out in the end, amen. It's called self-righteousness, amen. And we know that God testifying that Abel's gift was righteous and Cain's was not, amen. And God accepted one and rejected the other, amen. Hey, Cain believed in God, amen. But he believed there was a God, but he didn't believe in the true and living God. Amen. The Bible says, thou believest, thou doest believe, there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Religion is what does what justifies self, but salvation through the Lord justifies a sinner. So Abel not only offered, but we see he obtained witness. He obtained the witness of God that he was righteous. Amen. Hey, God consumed the sacrifice, apparently. Amen. God accepted his sacrifice. And God consuming the sacrifice gives assurance to him that God accepted his offering. Amen. Just as he rejected Cain's, there was no assurance. Amen. But when God accepted Abel's offering, amen, it brought assurance to his heart. That's what Jesus Christ is. Amen. God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and that gives us assurance that we are the children of God. Amen. Hey, the right offering produces the right life, and death brings forth life. Amen. Hey, the depth of the sacrifice brought life to Abel. Amen. Self-sacrifice was born in us by his Spirit. Amen. So we see that Abel offered, Abel obtained, but Abel also had an opposition. Anytime anybody wants to do what's right by God, the world, the devil, and the flesh is going to fight. Amen. He had opposition. He being dead yet speaketh. Amen. He's put to death. He's put to death for doing right. You think, well, that didn't turn out good. Amen. Here I am doing right, and that's what I get out of it. Hey, we don't know what we might have to face. We don't know what we might have to go through. Amen. Amen. I hope I can say, let the brother sung, amen, take away my sight, bind me in prison. Amen. Hey, I know, according to the Lord, I can still go free, but I hope I have that mentality. If I face that day, if they bind me up in a jail and rob me of my food and take away my sight, amen, I can still praise the Lord like Paul and Silas did in the Philippian jail, because I know right now God is good. Amen. But I hope my faith don't falter in that moment. Amen. That I can still praise God in my dying days. Amen. As some of the old saints of God did on their deathbed, even burnt and drowned in other afflictions that they faced. Abel had opposition. His faith did not take away his problems. That's something you need to get a hold of. That don't go well with the positive thinking of the world today. We think, well, if I got faith, it's going to overcome. Faith does overcome a lot of things, but faith does not necessarily take away your problems. He said, well, I believe in God. Me too, amen. But that don't mean God's going to come through the way we want him to come through. That's why we're to pray as the Lord did when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen. He had faith in God. He was God himself manifest in the flesh. And he asked this cup to pass away from him, but it didn't take away the problem. Hey, of course, God's grace was sufficient, just as it was in the life of the Apostle Paul when he asked the Lord to remove the thorn out of his life thrice. But God did not remove it, but God's grace was still sufficient. Amen. But faith does not not always take away the problem. Amen. His death still lets people know today there is only one way to heaven. Amen. And that is the sacrifice of the Son. So Abel, what did he do? He worshiped God. When it comes to the walk of faith in the Christian's life, amen, after God saves you, we need to learn to worship God. And so what is worship? Amen. Hey, what is worship? The first step of the Christian's life is accepting the Lord as Savior. And after he has been born again, he needs to learn to worship God. By definition, the word worship means adoration to the point of a surrendered will. Adoration to the point of a surrendered will. Amen. I have my adoration towards God, and I'm willing to surrender my will towards Him. Amen. After God saves your soul by accepting His Son for the sacrifice of our sins, amen, hey, we need to learn to sit at His feet and worship Him, amen, and surrender our will to Him. And when you get to that point in your life and begin to surrender your will towards God, then you can move on, as we'll see later on, and begin to walk with God and work for God. But it all starts with just sitting at the feet of Jesus and adoration of who He is and learning what God expects out of your life. It's worship of the Lord. Amen. Look in Matthew. We mentioned this a little bit last week, but let's look at it a little bit. Matthew. Look in Matthew 8. We'll start right there. Matthew chapter number 8. We need to learn to worship God. I mean, a lot of God's people, you know, they gung-ho and thank God for gung-ho and thank God for the spirit and the zeal. Thank God for the desire to do things for God. Hey, but you don't really know that much other than the fact that you're saved. And that's a good thing to know. Amen. Like that old blind boy, I don't know much, but one thing I know, I once was blind, but now I see. I know the Lord has saved my soul and changed my life. I know I'm not what I used to be. I don't understand any great doctrines of the Word of God other than the fact that I'm not going to hell, and God saved my soul, and I've got a heaven waiting on me. And that's a good start, amen. But after God saves you as an individual, you need to learn to sit at the feet of the Lord and begin to grow in the grace of God so God can condition your life and get your will surrendered. Hand it over to His will, so when you begin to walk with Him, amen, and begin to work for Him, you won't falter, because you know the God you're serving is the God that saved you and the one you adore and worship. Amen. You got to learn to worship God. We spoke about the apostles last week. You take any gospel account. Well, I took the book of Matthew. I said last week, you can take Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. You find the disciples out there. Of course, the Lord shows up first. Thank God He came down to this earth. Thank God He was born of a virgin and lived a sinless life. But after He began His public ministry, the first thing He did is went out and called disciples. That calling of disciples, these fishermen, these tax collectors, amen, these other individuals that done many things, different things in their career and work, hey, God called them unto Him that they might follow Him. And that call that He gave to them is a type of the call of salvation in our lives. How we were wandering around this world doing our thing, living in our way, amen, hey, without any concern and any acknowledgement of God. And thank God He came passing by your way, interfered in your life. Thank God God interfered in my life and interrupted the mess that I had to make something good out of it. Amen. And God came by and saved your soul. He done that to these individuals in type. Amen. When He called them unto Him to come follow Him. After the Lord calls them, if you look in Matthew chapter number 5, if you look at Matthew chapter number 6, and Matthew chapter number 7 is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And at the Sermon on the Mount, all these men are doing is sitting at the feet of Jesus. They're sitting down and God is teaching them. Call it the Beatitudes, the ways of righteousness, the credentials of the Lord, the work of God that He's going to do at that time. He's beginning to teach them a lot of spiritual and religious principles of life and how to live and walk and trust God. And all they're doing is just sitting down, and He's doing all the preaching and the teaching. Amen. There's a principle there that God is showing about the growth of an individual, just as He does in the book of Hebrews, just as He's done in our lives. God saves our soul. He calls us, but then He wants us to learn to sit down and worship and learn of Him. One of the best things you can do after you get saved, just get plugged up in a church somewhere and get in Sunday school and get in Sunday worship and get in Sunday night and Wednesday night, any revival. Hey, throw a preaching CD in. Hey, CDs now, but man, we got saved, man, we listen to all preaching all over the world, man. Hey, preaching tapes, we'd run them crazy, man, and just listen to all we could. And I believe that old time religion, that old time way still works. We need to be infiltrated with the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God and just learn to adore and worship the one that changed our lives. Amen. Get educated in the Word of God, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And the Lord has set these men down and has begun to teach them to worship Him. And after the Sermon on the Mount, look at how it starts in chapter 8 in verse 1. And He was come down from the mountain. Great multitudes did what? Followed Him. Now look, and behold, there came a leper, and he did what? Worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The principle here, as we lay out the order of the way God works in an individual's life, is that God does a work, and after God does a work, we've learned to sit at His feet and worship Him. Amen. God's always calling children to His feet to worship Him. I mean, you sit around somebody's feet, there's something about that feet and respect and reverence to that one that is speaking to you. It's kind of like the Bible says about the gospel, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. It's something about a reverence thing of sitting around and worshiping, amen. And we're not worshiping the preacher, of course, we're worshiping the Lord, but there's something about that principle there of gathering around the feet of the Lord and adoring Him and worshiping Him and surrendering your life to Him. Look at this in Matthew chapter number 18. We're to sit at His feet. If you don't know what worship is, it's simply just learning to sit down and shut up. Just sit at His feet, man. Don't let your, you know, mouth overrun your tail kind of thing, you know. You know, it's better to let somebody think you're ignorant than to open your mouth and remove all doubt kind of thing, you know? You know, we don't know what we think we know. That's why we were lost until God saved us, right? And we need to learn to sit down and shut up. Just listen, amen, and worship and adore Him. He's the best thing to ever happen to your life. Remember how the joy bubbles were there? And how the thrill was in your heart? And you just couldn't, you just, thank God you were saved. Hey, that girl sang that song this morning, do you know how it feels? When he knocks at your heart to surrender, amen. You know how it feels? Amen. You remember those days of laying your head down on your pillow that song kind of talks about when you were lost without God, without hope and without God? And you lay around and toss and turn and wondering about everything and trying to figure it all out, and your life was a mess and you couldn't figure it out, and you wake up worse than you was when you went to sleep, amen, and your life's in turmoil and it's upside down, but then God comes by and saves your soul, and that night of sleep is so sweet, man, you can't put it in terms, but man, it was good to lay down that night with no harm and worrying about it and wake up not worrying about all the trouble that was in my life. Hey, God had came by and saved my soul and gave me something that I could not understand or comprehend, but I know it was good. Amen. You know how it feels. Amen. Hey, and we need to learn to get back to that point in our lives. Hey, just to adore Him and worship Him. He's the best things ever happened in our lives.
Amen.
You got a mentality going around today, you know, where you can get saved and you don't need to be in church. And I know church don't save you. But there's something about the process of growth in the Christian life of faith. And a lot of people are stagnant because they've not come to the point where they can plug into the church and worship God and adore Him and let God mold in their lives to get them ready for the next step in the Christian life. Amen. The best thing you can do is get in church. Man, I've seen God do that kind of stuff too, man, down through Christian work. I've seen people get saved. I've seen people get saved right at the brink of a revival time. And it's like God just knowing they need that extra unction, you know what I mean? They need a little extra plug in to kind of get them over the hump, to overcome some of the trials and the temptations and the flesh and the things that's still there that didn't get saved, you know. The inner man, the new man's inside and he desires the things of God. But God will plug you in at that time and they will not take advantage of it. I don't understand the kind of world we're living in today, and I don't know if it's something they've been indoctrinated in on their life, it's something they got to overcome because of the religious parts they had in their life. Hey man, when I was lost, man, I had no religious things. Hey, there's nothing religious about my life. I knew nothing about, you know, church and prayer and the Bible or nothing. I just lost heathen, just wandering around this old world doing my thing. But God came and saved my soul, and it wasn't very hard for me to get plugged in church. Hey, I just thought, man, somebody said, that's what you need after you get it. Okay, let's do it. What do we do it? How we do it? Tell me what to do, amen. Just watch somebody else. Pick up a song book and sing the songs and pick up a Bible. Go buy a Bible and try to walk with God. And I didn't have that kind of thing. But the world we were dealing with today, they got so many extra baggages, man. And so many things they've heard. And it's a religious world. And so much religion's punched into people, amen. Especially, they say, down the South, everybody's religious. Everybody's saved, you know, that kind of crowd. But some of us, we weren't brought up like that. And man, you just got plugged in and said, man, this is what we do. But this world today, you got to convince them after they get saved, man, you need to be in church.
Amen.
And it's our part to help people grow in grace and get them to see the importance of being in church and being in Sunday school and growing in the good grace of God. Thank God some people still do it. Amen. Thank God that some people still get plugged in. Amen. Thank God for people to just go in and just dive in and say, let me get all I can.
Yeah,
that's what God expects if you're going to grow in grace. You got to learn to sit at the feet of Jesus. The Bible said in Matthew 18 and verse 2, and Jesus called a little child unto him, and he set him in the midst of them. You know where he set him at? In the midst of them, right at his feet. He tried to teach them boys something with a little child here. Just learn to sit down, boys. Slow down a little bit. Take a deep breath. Sit around here and adore me and worship me. Hey, you know. Look at Mark chapter number 5. You remember that legion, that devil? Yeah. Out there roaming around, out there in the world, kind of type of a lot of us. Out there raising hell and everything you could. And your life was in a mess. And everybody thought you was crazy, and you were. Amen. You didn't know it, amen, until you got saved and God put you in your right mind, like Legion here, amen. It's hard to realize how bad your life is until you realize how bad your life is. And it takes a good awakening every once in a while to say, man, yeah, I was doing that. I was that bad. That's kind of like now that you're saved, you know, and you pick up, and you know, me and my wife's done it before in the past. Remember some little movies you used to watch back then? I think it was Smokey and the Bandit. Y'all watch Smokey and the Bandit? Don't watch Smokey and the Bandit. I remember watching it when we was young, amen, and we got older and said, man, kids, this is a good movie. Watch Smokey and the Bandit. Put it in there, man. You can't watch Smokey and the Bandit. That thing's full of the devil. But you didn't know it was full of the devil because you was full of the devil. But when the light come in, you realize, hey, that don't work, man. We don't watch that. Cut that off. Did you hear that? You know what I'm talking about, amen? Hey, there's some things. You listen to that old music you used to listen to and you say, that's the lyrics that's in that song? I'm talking about a light, a witness on the inside, amen. And hey, it contradicts what's going on out in that world. And if you're saved, something in there's different, man. It just don't work. You can't. If you listen to me, I'm trying not to go to salvation. I'm talking about worshiping, but I'm telling you tonight, we got a lot of people just religious and lost. I believe. And I'm not trying to convince you that you're lost. If God saved you, glory be to God. But I know if you're saved, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, right? And hey, some things have been changed, amen. And there's as clear as light in the daytime, amen. Hey, that is not right.
Right.
If you can still go through the same motions of the world. Now, anybody can. The whole world, the flesh is wicked, amen. But if you can go through the same things in the world and nothing bothers you, something's wrong.
Amen.
If something don't, the Spirit of God don't convict you and nudge you and trouble you, man, I'd be checking up something seriously wrong with my life.
Amen.
You are either lost or you have seared your conscience to a state that you're in a bad situation as a child of God.
Amen.
All right? I'm talking about, hey, what are we talking about? We're talking about the steps of faith, amen? Learning to sit at his feet and worship him. Hey, now listen. If somebody says, hey, you know, you need to be in church, and you didn't know, because you're kind of religious, kind of, that's all your life's been all the time, you know. But sooner or later, amen, when somebody starts speaking about that kind of stuff, and if you got saved, the Holy Ghost ought to be bearing witness for coming at stuff, and you ought to say, yeah, I didn't know it, but yeah, you're right. When you start instructing people in religious ways that are biblical, that are right, and they start kicking out of that at the gate, there's something wrong there. There's something wrong there. You need to learn to sit at his feet. What did Legion do? He got saved. He was in his right mind. Look what the Bible says in Mark chapter number 5. Look in verse number 15. You can read the story about him. You know what happened to him. Amen. The Bible said in verse 15, and they came to Jesus, and they see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. What was he doing? We're talking about worshiping the Lord. He just got saved. He just been changed. Know where he's at? Sitting right at the feet of Jesus. There's something God's trying to show us in the Word of God about worship, amen. It's just adoring him and sitting at his feet and soaking in as much as you can about the Lord, amen. Hey, God wants us to sit at his feet, amen. Hey, you know what? This whole world will wear you down, and God will wear you down sometimes to get you to worship. Sometimes God will get you in a point where you can't do nothing but sit at his feet. You ever been so strung high on a lot of things and God had to slow you down and check you up? I've been there, man. You get to going, and God says, oh, and God had to kind of maybe get you sick or something. You say, preacher, God wouldn't make nobody sick. You'd be surprised what God would do to get you to check up and slow down and smell the coffee.
Right.
What he said over in the book of Corinthians, for this caused many are sick and sleep, right?
Yeah.
Somebody, you know, sleep dead. Hey, God knows what it takes to get us where we need to be with him. Look at Mark chapter number 8. Amen. God knows how to get our attention. The Bible said in verse 1 of Mark chapter 8, I'm talking about worshiping the Lord. I'm talking about the next step in the Christian life. Hey, God has saved you. Glory be to God. You need to learn to sit at his feet and adore him and surrender your will towards his. The Bible said in those days, the multitude being very great, Mark 8:1, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have been with me 3 days and had nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And they begin to ask about how many you got and what's the loaves and all that. But here's the principle. Look down to verse 8. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. Looking back to verse 6, that was the verse, not 8, amen. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave it to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. You know what God said? Sit down, boys. Just take a break. Take a deep breath. Learn to adore me and worship me and enjoy the blessings of God. Do you know what, you know what we do when we come into church? We come in here and we sit down. And they sing. It conditions our spirit, gets us right for worship and adoring Him. And then the Word of God is opened up and God begins to instruct us. God uses a man to open up the book and the Holy Ghost takes that truth and begins to pound it in your heart and mold your life and shape you. You know what you're doing? You're worshiping and adoring Him and trying to allow the Spirit of God to surrender your will to His will, and God's getting you conditioned for the next step in your Christian life. That's how it starts. Hey, you don't have to feel bad because you don't know what somebody else knows or you're not doing what somebody else is doing. Hey, if God has saved you, just check up and sit down and learn. Learn. You know what we do a lot of times? We start comparing ourselves among ourselves. It's not wise. And we say, well, somebody's doing this and look what they're doing. I wish I could be doing what they're doing and they're above me. They're not necessarily above you. Hey, maybe that's or God just got you out in your steps of Christian life. Hey, man, you don't have to know what everybody else knows. You've not been saved as long as somebody else has. Or you've not been surrendered to God's will as long as others have. Hey, if that's where you're at in your Christian life, if God just saved you, glory be to God, you're saved. Hey, let's learn to sit down and worship God. And as they're sitting down and worshiping God, hey, let's us as God's people that maybe think we're higher than them, and maybe in some cases we might be. God has promoted us spiritually and put us in certain places. Hey, we shouldn't look down on them because they're not where we're at. Amen. We shouldn't condemn their lives and make them feel bad because they're not doing what we're doing. Hey, may just need to learn to sit down and worship God. And when God gets you ready, God will let you walk with Him. And God gets you ready, He'll give you a work to do. But right now, He just wants you to sit there and worship Him. Amen. A lot of times, God's people put more pressure on other people than they should. Hey, you know what these little kids right here? They ain't been so much they should be doing right now. We look at them and think, man, they're a bunch of heathens. Why they do that kind of stuff? Because they're a bunch of heathens and they're young, just like you were. Amen. And they're just trying to learn to figure this thing out, man, and how to worship God, and how to read the Bible regularly, how to pray regularly, how to, hey, submit to the authority of the Word of God, and, hey, respond to the order and do right, and go back to the seat and try to make the best of it, amen. And until they get a little bit more growth in grace, amen, let's be a little more compassionate on them and let them get to the stages that God wants them to get to.
Amen.
Everybody's not on the same plane.
Right.
And amen, when you study the steps of process, this is the way God laid it out. Hey, God done a work in your life. Now let's sit down and worship and wait on Him to tell us what to do. Let's don't jump the gun. Let's not put our zeal before a little bit of wisdom and knowledge. Thank God for the zeal. Thank God for what you're doing, but just kind of check up, worship God, and let God put things in your life. Look in Luke chapter number 10. Luke 10. What is worship? It's sitting at His feet. Brother James said this morning, talk about Watchman Nee's book on the book of Ephesians, and you did or not in the adult Sunday school class, that's what he's been teaching on. And Watchman Nee wrote that good book on sit and what? Walk and stand. That same principle. It's amazing how so much in the Word of God lines up when you begin to learn about God. God, you know, it's amazing how deep it is, but how simple God makes it.
Amen.
Because He's like compounding it everywhere. You take the process right there in Hebrews 11, and there's that step. And then you study the lives of individuals in the book of Acts and book of Gospels into the book of Acts, and you see that same process played out in their lives, how they grew. And you take the book of Ephesians, and there's that process right there. Those first 3 chapters, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. I think I look at it this morning, I had to highlight in my Bible when he's teaching. I think it's like 10 times in those first 3 chapters, in Christ. That's what he's talking about, that in Christ. Amen. See it. Just sit down in Him, right? And then in verse chapter 4 and 5, they begin to walk, right? And then they make a stand in chapter 6 as he's going to be teaching. Amen. He's been teaching so great so far. Amen. I know it's going to continue to be great. Hey, but that's the process. That's what God's trying to teach us. Hey, just sit down in Christ and know you got it. Get the assurance of your salvation and get some confidence in the Lord and begin to give your life over to God. And then God will show you what to do in due time. So I wish I knew what to do. You know what? You ain't going to learn what to do as long as you running around, won't sit down and listen.
Amen.
And I'm like calling the kettle black right there because my mind's like going around like that, amen. People probably think I'm on drugs half the time, amen. That's the way my mind works, amen. That's why I said the other day, amen, one of the things I fear is losing my mind because a lot of times I feel like I'm losing my mind. That's a laugh, amen, but I'm serious. Amen, my mind goes 100 miles an hour. My wife has to tell me to calm down and, you know, sit down and be still. And, hey, Caesar said and done, amen, when you got things like going on in my mind, amen. Anyhow, amen, I'm just kind of rambling about. See, that's where my mind went. See how it went? You learn to sit down, calm, take a deep breath. I do that in preaching sometimes. Y'all been listening to me preach. I've been pastoring you for a long time, man. Sometimes I just get so strung up and I have to kind of slow down, man. Slow down, take a breath. Whew, all right. When he sat at his feet. Luke chapter number 10. Luke 10. It's worship. Sit down. Wait on God. God will come through. Luke chapter 10, look in verse 38. Jesus said here, he's teaching a little something here about this. He said, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. That's a nice, noble thing, right? To receive Jesus into your house would always be good. Now look, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his what? Mary said, come on in my house. Martha said, come on in my house, but she came when the Lord came in the house. Mary just sat down right at his feet. What is she doing? She's worshiping him. She's adoring him. She's listening to what he's having to say. She heard his words. But the Bible said, verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about with much suffering. She's just got that thing all hard strung, you know, and come to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. I mean, this woman, she said, Lord, come into my house. Martha did, and Jesus came into her house, and Mary saw him come in, and she knows, man, this is what I want to sit and listen and hear from him, and she's sitting there worshiping and listening to him, and Martha's just busy, and then she looks back and said, hey, what's wrong with Mary? That's why we get sometimes. My wife's over there saying, slow down. I said, you can't give her no, you know, I give her an inch, she take a mile. She said, Lord, I'm doing it all. And what you going to do to her? And look what the Bible says here. The Bible says, verse 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Do you know what worship is? Just sitting at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, we can give you the definition, the adoration of the point of surrendering your will to him and, you know, adoring him and worshiping him and all those terms. But you know what? It's just sitting down at his feet and listening to what he's got to say. Learn to worship the Lord. Abel worshiped the Lord. Amen. Cain was cumbered about of much work and much things that he can get done. Hey, but God said, hey, I'm looking for somebody just to adore me and do what I've told him to do out of the Word of God. Worship of God is learning to sit at his feet. And hey, number two, it's God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Hey, and it's sitting at his feet, but there's a way that's to be done. Look in John 4. You know the text, John 4. God wants you to worship him in spirit and in truth. There's a right spirit in it, and it should be done with truth. You know, some people get truth, and thank God for truth. Sanctify them through thy word is truth, but the spirit stinks. And then some people get all strung up on the spirit, and then they don't have no truth in it, and that makes a mess. When God said when true worship is done, God wants it done with spirit and with truth. God wants a combination of both ingredients within the right kind of worship. And you need to get the right spirit towards God, and you need to have the right truth, which is his book. John 4, verse 19, he's speaking to the woman at the well. The Bible said, and the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. That's a good observation. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me that the hour cometh when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. That's what's wrong with a lot of people. They don't even know what they're worshiping. Amen. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. That's truth. That was the truth. This woman had some kind of crazy, you know, we worship in that mountain and you worship in Jerusalem. Jesus said, you don't even know what you worship. And true worship is of the Jews worshiping the Father. And that's the way God set it up. That's truth. That's stern, but it was truth. Look at verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship. And you know what God seeketh? He seeks worship. He seeks adoration. He seeks people to sit at his feet and just adore him and love him and grow in the good grace of God. He's seeking that. For why? For verse 24, God is a spirit, and they which worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If there's true worship, they must be false worship. There's no way around it. Everything that claims to be worship is not godly. If God said there's true worship, that means there's false worship. People, you know what true worship consists of? A thankful spirit. Do you know how people ain't thankful? You know, that's the thing. Look in Luke 17. That was the problem over there in Romans chapter number 1 about the end times. When he spoke about that time, when it would be like that, you know, and, you know, women with women and men with men and all those ungodly things that were going on. And it all started out with somebody being unthankful. They had no thankfulness towards God. Amen. Thankfulness. You know, you don't have to turn there. There's a lot of things I want to get. Luke chapter number 17, and those lepers went out there, and the Lord cleansed all 10 of them. And one came back and was thankful for what God done to him. Do you know what worshiping is? Worship is sitting at the feet of the Lord, amen. And worship in spirit and in truth is having a thankful spirit for what God has done to you. When you start losing gratitude, man, that God would save an old sinner like me, and thinking you've arrived and you somebody, you're going backwards. You should never get over the fact of worshiping the Lord for how good he has been to you, how he has blessed your life, how he saved your soul, how he's taken care of you, how just as the songwriter said so fitly when he wrote Amazing Grace, amen, thank God for the amazing grace of God that saved our soul, but grace has taken me this far and grace is going to carry me home. It is the good grace of Almighty God. Hey, people are no longer thankful, amen, and true worship in spirit and in truth is with a thankful spirit, amen. Hey, one of the first mentions to the church, one of the first things mentioned to all the churches, you look at 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Hey, you look at the books and it's always talking about thanks. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Hey, that's how that thing starts. That's how worship starts. That's how your walking Christian life starts. Hey, God saves you. God does the work and you sit at his feet and are just thankful for what he's done. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give what? Thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's sitting at his feet. It's worshiping him. Amen. You need to learn to worship God and be thankful for the blessings of God on your life. Amen. Sit around and count the blessings of God. It is a sacrificial thing in worship. Abel offered a sacrifice. He sacrificed. Amen. It's taking something of yours to give to another. Maybe your time. It takes time to worship the Lord. It takes your talents, you know, that you've got to give back to the Lord and worship him. Hey, come to God with what he wants, amen, and come with a humble spirit his way. That's worship. And Abel came God's way, and he came humbly. You know, the first mention of worship is in Genesis 22. Let me get this, and we'll stop right here. Genesis 22. I'm talking about worship. The steps of Christian life of faith. Worshiping the Lord. Do you worship him? Are you thankful? Do you sit at his feet? You know what you do? You know how you know people say, well, you can worship God anywhere. You're exactly right. God has set up a place, I believe, that is special, which is called the local meeting place, the church, the local assembly, that is a place where we can come and meet with God, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and worship the Lord. But you know what you can do? With a spirit of adoration and a spirit of thankfulness, as you can sit down and open up this Bible at the feet of Jesus and read the Word of God and worship God. Just be thankful and let Him feed you. That's why it's important, amen, when the step of Christian life of faith that God has saved you is to worship Him as much as you can. Take time and slow down and take a deep breath. And don't just try to rush through the Scriptures, but just read it and see what God has to say. How many times have we all been guilty of just trying to get through the next chapter? It happens, man. And I believe, you know, trying to put a system together like we've done to read our Bible through. But sometimes we all get complacent and get, you know, just trying to get to the next chapter, get it done. Hey, slow down. Worship and let God's Word speak to you and condition you and get you where you need to be with the Lord. And by the way, Tim, man, you hit them hard words. Man, I believe you knocked it out of the park, man. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Worship. First time word worship is mentioned is in Genesis chapter 22, and it's in verse number 12 when Abraham took his son Isaac up on the mountain of what? To sacrifice him. Mount Moriah, right? Genesis 22:12, the Bible said, now look, here's the verse. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You know what that is? That's adoration to God and surrendering your will to Him. God wanted Abraham to surrender his will to Him. That's why He told him in verse 2, and He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. The first time the word worship is mentioned is the taking that son up there and worshiping the Lord up on that mountain. He said, you know what he said? He said, do it now. Take now thy son. You know what? When it comes to worshiping the Lord, you need to do it when God says it. He wanted it now. He said to take your son, amen. Hey, nothing in your life should stand between you and God. Thine only son whom thou lovest. Take him up on the mountain. God will tell you where he wants you to do it. Amen. And he said, I will tell thee of the mountain when you get there, which mountain to be on when you go to the land of Moriah. You know what worship is? It's just faith and trust in God that God's going to come through when the time is needed. Worship. We all need a regular worship of God and adoration to the point of surrendering our will. If you're going to be what you need to be with God, it needs to start with a work of faith of salvation, and you need to learn to worship God. And you know what's amazing about these steps as you continue to go on? None of them should ever go away. When you get to the point where you're walking with the Lord, you need to never lose your worship and thankfulness that He done a work in your heart. Amen. Everything just builds but on another, and God's getting you where you need to be with Him. So one day we're going to worship Him forever. Let's just worship the Lord, amen. Everybody stand. Worship. Next step we'll look at is to walk with the Lord. Once you begin to worship, God lets you walk and see things and begin to condition you ready for the next step in your Christian life, amen.